today, when our Savior rose from the dead today, we know that He has opened many doors in our life. And today, I want to talk to you shortly today about this thought of which door will you enter? Which door will you enter? How many know that doors are in our everyday life, aren't they? Man, I mean, you can't go anywhere without passing through a door. You got doors in your home, you got to go through your car door, you got to go through your work door, you got to go through doors all day long. We have many doors, not only physical doors, but we also have other doors in our life, doors of opportunity, doors of chance, doors of marriage, doors of having children and family, and doors of meeting friendships and opportunity and business opportunities. And doors are always opening and always closed in our life. And this word door is something that continues to be a process that is always in front of us, that we will always face doors in our life. And we'll always have choices of different doors that come available to us in our life. And so today, I want to ask you this question is this, which door will you enter? How many know if you enter the wrong door, that it can be a big problem? How many have ever been to a restaurant when they had the men's and women's in kind of some kind of foreign language, and you weren't sure which door was which for the restroom? That can be a big problem. You know what I'm talking about. And you're like, tell your little kid, go in there and find out. Is there anybody standing up in there, or are they all sitting down? Come back and tell me, you know. But going through the wrong door can be a big problem. You know, we got to have doors in our life, and we go through things, and making sure you walk through the right opportunity and the right door at the right time, that's a big issue. And today we're going to talk about this thought of which door are you going to choose? Because doors are such a big issue in our life that every day we're faced with the opportunities to walk through different doors in our life. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden today and talk about the original Adam and Eve. And we're looking at the original Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Man, this place was a perfect environment. It was God set up a perfect environment for him to communicate with man. They had this right fellowship that he always intended for us to be in fellowship with him, doing the right thing, making right choices. It was a perfect nirvana, a place of just an awesome place to be, to enjoy the fruit of the land that God had blessed man with. This open relationship that was there. There was an open door relationship with God that man had in the Garden of Eden. But because of man's sin, because of Adam's sin and Eve's sin, they took the open door, the relationship with God. We had an open door relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. But when they sinned, kind of like some of your doors at home. I know it's like out there. Yeah. They slammed the door. Sin slammed the door to the open door policy with God. And so we see something happen here in the garden where they sinned and they ate the forbidden fruit when God told them not to. And we see sin entering into man's nature for the first time. It's a synetic, get that word, synetic. It's a synetic attribute that you and I have today, a sin nature that you and I have today is because of this sin that Adam and Eve allowed to take place in the garden. And so as they did this, they closed the door to this open relationship that God wanted to have in the Garden of Eden. The door was totally open, and now it's slammed shut. Bible says that Adam and Eve chose to go their own way, to close the door on God and say, you know what, there must be a better way. I think that I can do better over here at this tree. And they slammed the door what God had commanded them to do and to walk through and walked over to the tree and began to eat of the tree that was commanded them not to eat of. And they allowed sin to come in. And when sin came in, they slammed the door and they immediately began to hide from God because they knew they had sinned. Who told them they had sinned? I mean, God hadn't told them they'd sinned other than he commanded them not to do it. But other than that, they knew immediately when they did this, they knew that, man, we just did something wrong. In their spirit, when they sinned, they felt themselves doing this. They felt them closing the door in their spirit to what the fellowship that God wanted for them to have with him. And so they were trying to hide, and so they're over here hiding behind the door. God, don't look at us. We're naked. Now, for those of you who wanted to run around naked all your life, you can thank Adam and Eve because they ruined it for all of us, okay, right here. Because at this point, they allowed sin to come in. They were hiding. God, don't look at us. Don't look at us, God. We're naked. And God did something here that was foreshadowing of things to come that let you and I know about the doorway. That God took an animal And he sacrificed this animal. Now realize, Adam and Eve at this point had never, ever seen death. They didn't know what death was. They were the first of creation. And they had never seen anything die. And God took an animal and he killed it. And he allowed the blood to be shed. And then he skinned the animals and he made clothes and gave it to them to put on. And he covered their nakedness with the skins of this animal. And foreshadowing, saying this, that in order for a sin to be atoned, that an innocent third party must die and be sacrificed. That bloodshed of an innocent third party must always take place to make an atonement for the sins of mankind. And so we see this door being shut. And because of this door being shut, God said, Adam and Eve, man, you're going to have to do something different here. You've got to move out of the Garden of Eden. Because no longer is this door going to be open the way it used to be. No longer will this door be open to the fellowship that I wanted to have. And so there's going to be a different route. You're going to pay a different price. You're going to have to work harder. You're going to have to go through some pain. You're going to go through some death in your life that you never intend to go through. And he says that God took them out of the Garden of Eden and forbid them to come back in. And on the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden, it says that he placed the cherubims, the angels, that were there to guard this gate, not allowing them to ever come back into the Garden of Eden. Now, I want you to remember this thought about the cherubims being here at the eastern gate, because it's going to come up later on in our message and plays a big role in the open door policy. Man being shoved out of the garden, God placing the cherubims at the eastern gate of the garden. No longer does man have the right fellowship that was intended to have. And now, to make atonement for the sins, innocent blood must be shed, the sacrificing of animals given to the high priest to make atonement. And we see this happening time and time again in Scripture. We see when the children of Israel were trying to leave and flee, and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go, and Moses was there saying, man, let my people go. God wants us to leave here. We're leaving Egypt. We're taking the Jews. We're taking the children of Israel. And we're getting out of here. Remember all that, the Ten Commandments? I think it was on last night. The Ten Commandments, all that was happening. We see where Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, no, you cannot take them. I don't care what God says. I don't care what you say, Moses. You're not taking them. And so God, after doing all the plagues and had done everything, said, all right, this is what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to kill the firstborn in every home. And only the homes that had the lamb's blood placed above it. And so he commanded all the Jews, said, listen, you got to go sacrifice your baby lamb, pure white lamb. Take that pure white lamb and sacrifice it. And take the blood of that lamb, and above your doorpost, in a sign of a cross, I want you to paint the cross and the blood there. And when the death angel comes tonight, everybody who has the covering of the blood, the death angel will pass over. And if there's not a covering of the blood there, the firstborn will die that night. And it was just such a tragic, tragic night as the death encamped all that whole land. All of Egypt was all of them but the Jews, only the Jews who followed God's commands, only the Jews who covered the door with the blood. See how the door is coming back up again. We're kicked out of the door. We shut the door. And now only those who are covered in the blood through the door receive the salvation that God has. Only those who receive what God had. Now the rest of them receive death, which becomes another foreshadowing. What God was trying to tell us, that only through the blood, only through the innocent blood of a lamb. Jesus said, I am a lamb. He's the Lamb of God. He compared himself in Scripture to the Lamb of God. We see another foreshadowing happened here where the lamb was shed and the blood shed for the covering of the sins. And we see something happening here that is foreshadowing what God is trying to tell us, that there's something to do with this doorway. There's something to do with the doorway, and we see it. Ezekiel and Revelations both talk about the doorway, the eastern gate of heaven and their vision. We see in the Garden of Eden where the doorway of the eastern gate was guarded. There's something about this doorway. There's something about the door that God was trying to communicate to us. See, God was, he's such an awesome God that he communicates to us in ways that we can understand. And so the reason why he uses the doorway and uses a door in many of his applications is because he wants you and I to grasp that. Because what else do we do all day long but go through doors, don't we? All day long we're going in and out of doors, in and out of rooms, opening doors, shutting doors. And we're going through doors all the time. And so it's through this process that God was using the door as a visual for you and I to understand the way to get to him. And he shows us that we had to have the blood above the door. God protected those. It was atonement time. We see in the tabernacle where the blood had to be shed in the Old Testament. You and I, we were not worthy on our own to go and to be in God's presence because of Adam and Eve. Shut the door on that. You see what's happening here? Adam and Eve shut that door. No longer could you and I go and have a one-on-one conversation with God, the face-to-face. But in order to do this, to make atonement for the sins, this is what happened. You had to bring your sacrifice, give it to the high priest, and then the high priest was the only one who was sanctioned by God to enter into this place called the Holies of Holies, and he would offer up the sacrifice. Matter of fact, it was such a sacred place that he would wear this long robe, and he had to have bells on his robe because they would tie on a rope to his leg. Now, how many would love to have this job right here? Because if the bell stopped ringing, that means that the high priest entered into the Holies of Holies. He was ceremonially unclean. He didn't do everything right, and he had some sin that he didn't deal with or something that he didn't do right to prepare himself to go into God's presence. And so if the bell stopped ringing, if they walked in to take him out of there, they would be killed. And so they tied on a rope to his leg, and if they heard the bell stopping for a period of time, they would drag the priest out by the rope. I mean, God was serious about this business of shutting the door. And only a certain people were allowed to come in and have fellowship because Adam and Eve ruined it for all of us through allowing sin to come in and shutting the door to God's presence in our life. Adam and Eve shut that door. But we see things happen in our life. Let's look at what Scripture says here. We see what's happening here. We see where God decided to do something here. He began to show us a foreshadowing through the sacrificing of innocent blood of the animals being sacrificed and making atonement and covering for sins. We see where things are happening. We see where God decides to send the second part of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now he's sending God the Son to earth. And he's sending the second part of the Trinity to earth to be born of the Virgin Mary. And he grows up, and during his public ministry, of time he reached about 32, the time he reached about 34, we had about 36 months there of public ministry that he really traveled and taught. And during this time of public ministry, he said some things. Matter of fact, let's look at John 10:9. This is what Jesus had to say. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. I am the door. Say the. That's an important word here. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What's he saying? He's saying he can come and go, man. He's going to find a resting place. He's going to find fulfillment. The pasture, symbolic of the word peace, where they would find, the sheep would go and they would find rest in the pasture. And so he's saying this, I am the door. Jesus said this, I am the door. He said, I didn't say I am a door. He didn't say I am one of many doors. He said, I am the door. Make that very clear. As a Christian and believing today, we got to realize that there's only one door. There's only one door that you and I can get to salvation. There's only one door that leads to heaven. One door. He says, I am the door. He continues to talk about it. He says it here. If anyone enters by me, if anyone enters this door, the door, if you enter this door, you enter by me. I am Jesus. I enter by me. He will be saved. He will find peace. He will find what he's looking for. Jesus was using a picture that his listeners could understand. He was painting the picture of a doorway, knowing that this is the way. John 9 continues in verses 10 and 11. And says, a thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest, man. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This representation of the shepherd, now we know the shepherd would not only sacrifice his life to save the sheep many times, he would fight off wild animals and put his life on the line. He was willing to sacrifice many times his life for the sheep. But also we study where the shepherds, when they would corral them at night and they were ready to bed down in the fields, they would actually had this portable corral they brought with them. They put this portable corral up, but it wouldn't be completed because they'd only have like a small gate to get in out of it. So the shepherd would actually sleep laying down in front of the gate. He'd actually sleep laying down in front of the gate. That way, if anyone tried to get out, he would be awakened. If any of his sheep tried to wander out of the corral, he would be awakened and could stop it. And he also would be at the gate because the sheep would follow his voice and he would begin to sing to them. Many of the shepherds would sing, and the sheep would know his voice, and the sheep would come running, not come running, but come walking, and they would herd right into the corral without him having a bunch of horses and, you know, all these things. He would just sing at the gate, and the sheep would know his voice, and they would enter into the safe place. And Jesus is comparing himself, saying, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep so that you and I can enter into the gate, that you and I can enter to the door of safety, that you and I can enter to the place that we hear his voice, him saying, I am the door. This is the place that God's taking us. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Then in verse 17 and 18, look what he says. He says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Look what he says here. Only to take it up again. He's talking about the resurrection here, and it goes right past everyone's head. They don't have any idea what he's talking about. He says, I lay down my life only to take it up again. And just to say it one more time to make sure they got it, even though it went right over their head, he says, and I lay down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it back up again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus was saying, I am the good shepherd, but I can voluntarily, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to come back again. He was foreshadowing, saying, I am going to voluntarily lay down my life. I'm going to lay down my life at the door. I'm going to voluntarily come back from the grave. I had that power given to me by my Father. He was talking. Now, of course, at the time, they didn't realize exactly what he was saying. But now we know exactly what he meant. So let's move to the garden. We see where Jesus is contemplating this thing. He knows that his time is coming short. He knows that his time to the cross is drawing near. Judas is on his way to betray him, and the guards are on their way to overtake him. And he's in the garden, and he knows it. He's praying in the garden. And the Word of God says he's praying so hard that he began to have sweat, drops of blood coming out of his head. Jesus already began to shed his blood for you and I in the garden. It didn't happen at the cross. It didn't just start at the cross when he was beaten. It started in the garden. I mean, he was intensely sweating the blood because he was such contemplating. And this is what he was saying. Father, as he was praying, he was such in concentration. He was in such agony over his decision. Father, is there, it's what he asked. Father, is there any other door? Is there any other door? Father, can you make another door that doesn't lead this painful way? Father, is there any other door? But if not, I will choose to walk through this door. Is there any other way? And as he's praying to the Father, he's asking us, is there any other way? And you and I know, as we are parents, we know, if there had been any other way, he just said, son, there's an easier way. Son, let me tell you, there's another door. We can pull this out of the closet here and we can establish this. If there's any other way, let's take it, because I don't want you to go through this pain. I don't want you to go through the suffering. But the Father couldn't bring out door number 1, 2, or 3. This wasn't, this make a deal. There was one door. One door. He had one choice. Jesus was only given one door that he had to walk through. And he was such agony and such distress over what was coming through this door that he began to sweat drops of blood, shedding his blood even there for you and I. But he said this in his heart, even though I don't want to walk through this door because I know it's going to be a painful door, I will willingly do it, Father, if this is what you want me to do. His love for you and I, the love of the Father to make his son walk through that door which led to the cross. The love of the son to say, Father, I'll walk through that door. That's how much they love us. That's how much they love us. But they didn't choose to say, you know what, I'll build my own door over here. I'll go a different way. I will walk the way of the cross. I will go through the door of the cross. Because there was no other way. Because we see all along where man had what? The atonement for the sins was only taking place when the innocent third party shed his blood. We saw it in the garden. We saw it in Old Testament sacrifices. We saw it at the Passover, when the lamb's blood was put above the door, that there was no other way that man could be saved except through the blood of Jesus Christ. This was God's plan all along from the garden. As soon as man slammed the door shut right here, We had open fellowship with God, and as soon as man shut the door to the sin, from that time on, God has always prepared this door to be reopened. God has always prepared this door to be the way, to be the way. And he showed us that it had to come through an innocent third party dying, that the blood had to be shed and be covered for you to walk through that door. And when Jesus came, he says, I am the door. And today, it's a very popular subject to say there's many doors. You'll hear a lot of people on TV lying to you, twisting the truth and saying, you can walk this door, you can walk that door. I watched a show on Nightline the other night, maybe some of you saw that. There were some prominent ministers who used to at one time be very big in the evangelistic circle, saying there's other doors, there's not really a devil, and there's all these things. There's a lot of confusion going on. You can't watch what's going on behind the scenes with Oprah and other stars and Scientology. Oh, you can believe what you want because there's many doors. That's what society's telling us nowadays. It's all right. You don't have to go through this door because this door over here, it'll take you to the same place. This door over here, it'll take you to the same place. So you may not see eye to eye with that door over there, but that's okay because you don't have to go through that door. And it goes back to that saying that we talked about in the scripture. He says, wide is the road. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Many doors lead to destruction, but only one door. He said, narrow is the gate, the door. Narrow is the door. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Make no mistake about it, sir. Make no mistake about it, ma'am. There's only one door. There is only one door. And don't allow anybody, I don't care how much money they have, I don't care if they eat at the president's table, I don't care who they are, there is only one door that leads to salvation. And don't believe anything else. And just because it's drilled time and time again on talk shows and on certain radio and things happening, don't buy into it. It's a lie. It's a mistruth. Jesus even warned us of that, that there would come people in his name saying, hey, there's another door over here. Hey, there's another door over here. Hey, it's okay. He said, that's going to happen as we get closer to the end. And as we get closer to the return of Christ, you're going to see more and more doors opening up. You're going to see more and more doors saying, hey, come over here. Come over here. Don't be confused. Do not be misled. There is only one door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. There's only one door that leads us to salvation. It was a door. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And so what happens is this, is that Jesus had to choose to walk the way of the door. He had to choose to walk the way of the door because all along we see where the innocent third party had to give of the blood. He was the only one, the only man who ever lived a life spotless. And so Jesus chose to walk through this door. Jesus chose to come through this door right here. He took his blood and he shed it for you and me. He took his blood of an innocent man who knew no sin, our Savior, and he died and he shed his blood for you and I. And when he died on that cross, he took his blood and he shed it on that door one more time. And once again, this door has been reopened. Once again, you and I, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and you and I, we walk through a path that's been covered with blood. And we can walk through a door and have right fellowship with God again. We can have a personal relationship with God again. It's restored back to the place that God wanted you and I to originally be. But it only comes through the door. And this door has been marked with the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer to be slammed shut. It's open, wide open now for any of those. But you must choose it. This door won't suck you in. This door isn't going to make you come in with the automatic elevator or escalator taking you in. It doesn't have the skywalk that they have at the airports taking you down. Man, you're going to have to choose to walk this path and say, Jesus, I will now enter through the cross, through the blood. This is the door I will choose to walk through. This is the door I will choose. And when I walk through this door, I'm restored back to the place that God has for you and I. And it doesn't stop there. Remember me talking about the Eastern Gate? How God sent in the Garden of Eden the angels to guard the Eastern Gate, not allowing man to come back into the Garden of Eden. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place, and when I come back, I'm going to take you there with me. He's talking about heaven. And we see through John's vision of heaven, we see through Ezekiel's vision of heaven. Where do they say you and I enter into heaven at? Which gate will we enter when we get to heaven? When the rapture takes place and those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, which gate does the Bible say you and I will enter? Will once again be allowed to walk through an eastern gate into the right place of the garden that God had always established for you and I. It's been his plan all along. He started in the garden, and when man allowed sin to come in and ruin that place, God says, you know what? It's not going to end there. Satan, you may think you got it now, but I'm going to have the last laugh, because I'm going to build a better garden. I'm going to build a better place. It's going to be heaven, and those who walk through that gate, those who walk through that door, shed by my son's blood, they're going to walk back through that eastern gate where they were once forbidden to come, and now walk back and be welcomed right back into my presence in a way they never even dreamed or imagined. That's the door that I want to walk through. That's the door today that you have a choice to walk through, but the choice is yours. Which door will you enter today? Which door will you allow yourself to walk through? There's three doors in our lives today that all of us will have to walk through. The first door, we don't have a choice. This is a door of birth. The first door we walk through is the door of birth. We don't choose when we're born. We're here. We're conceived by our parents, and we come into life. We didn't choose that. It was chosen for us. And then we have the door of death. And I've been doing some family history and studying this, and in my family, death runs very, death runs in all our family, doesn't it? Okay. That's a door we can't choose. We're all going to die. At some point in life, unless the Lord returns before we die, we're all going to die. And so we don't control that. But what we do control is this: which door will we walk through? Will I walk on my own door and say, you know what? I've got a better way to heaven. I've got a better way to God. I've got a better way. This means just being the best I can and being a good person. And then I'll just kind of do my own thing, and one day I'll be to heaven. No. That door leads to destruction. That door leads to confusion. That door will lead you to a path of destruction. There's only one door. There's only one door. He says, I am the door that will lead you to heaven today. There's only one door that will lead you back to the right spot with Jesus Christ. And you have the choice on that door. It's a free choice. He could have made us all robots, couldn't he? What kind of love would that be? If I went home to my kids and say, get over here right now and you love me. Give me a hug. You love me. I mean, that's not really love, is it? It's me forcing them to love me. But when I walk in, I've had a bad day, and not really thinking about anything, and I'm in a bad mood, and they walk up and just wrap their arms around me. Welcome home, Dad. I love you. My heart just, boom, jumps out of my chest. I don't care what I'm going through in my life, but it's whatever burden I'm carrying to that door, it's all falls to the side, and I'm like, my kids love me. That's enough right there. I love that. No better feeling in the world, because they have chosen to freely love me. That's the way God made you and I, a choice to freely love him. We have a choice to freely walk through the door, because every time I walk through this door that he shed his blood for, I'm saying, welcome home. I choose to love you, God. I choose to love you. I choose it. He didn't grab me by my shirt tail and throw me in this door. Get in this door. You're going to walk this way right here. He could have done that if he wanted to. But that's not love. Love is a choice. Love is choosing. Choosing to do the right thing. Choosing to love. He made you and I in this way. This is a door that we have to walk through. We're going to have many doors as musicians come this morning. We're going to have many doors we're going to go through in our life. We're going to have goals and opportunities and marriage and things that happen career-wise and crisis. There's going to be a lot of doors in our life that come open. Look what Hebrews 10, 19, and 20 as we close with this verse. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. How do we enter the door? With confidence. Enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. It's right here. I can enter into this most holy place where I was once forbidden because Jesus paid the price right here, this blood. I can walk through this door now into the most holy place because this door's been opened back up for you and I. In fact, we need to leave this door open, don't we? Now listen, there's going to come a day when this door shuts again. There's going to come a day when God calls the people, his children, back home. And that door will be shut again. And only those who have walked through that door will have an opportunity to be with him. So my question for you now, are you going to choose to walk through that door today? Or are you going to wait until it's too late and say, I wish I'd have walked through that door. Why didn't somebody tell me? I'm telling you today, there's only one door. Don't put it off. Well, Pastor, I'm just not ready yet. I know I'm feeling it in my heart, but if I got to wait, I got to change some things in my life first. I've got to change the way I act. I got to change some things first because God will never accept me the way I am. You can never be good enough. I can never be good enough. I can never change enough. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Walk through the door. Walk through the door now. We'll deal with the rest later, but right now, you walk to the door. You run to the door. You kneel at the door. You go to the door, and you come to the door and say, God, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to walk through the door. I want to secure my place in eternity. I want to walk in right standing with God. I want to know that heaven's my home, and I'll never be closed out of this place. I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior today. I want to ask you to bow your heads today. Nobody's looking around but me. Even the people on the stage are going to bow their heads. I'm the only ones looking up here today, looking out. I will not embarrass you in any way. I'm going to ask you this question. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I need to walk through that door. I need to walk through that door. I'm ready to walk through that door. Today, before I leave, I've got to get right with God. Maybe you've been through that door before, and maybe you've just been so far away from Him. Say, Pastor, today I need to get back to a right relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you never walked through that door ever. You say, Pastor, today it's my day. I'm ready to walk through that door. No one's looking but me, but can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to walk through that door. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Anybody else today? Say, that's me. I want to walk through that door. Raise it high. One more chance. Don't leave here today without making that. Thank you. Don't leave here today without making that decision. Thank you. Anybody else here today? Say, today I want to make that decision to walk through the door. Thank you. I'm not going to leave here. I'm not going to blow my opportunity because I don't know what tomorrow holds. But if I walk through this door, I know that who holds tomorrow? It's Jesus. And I'm going to be okay. I beg of you, ma'am, sir, anybody else here today, if you have not walked through that door and say, Pastor, I want to walk through that door. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today say, Pastor, I want to walk through that door today. Today's my day to walk through that door. Nothing else is going to keep me out of that door. I'm going through that door today. Anybody else? One more time. If you have not raised your hands yet and you want to walk through that door, raise your hands. That's me, Pastor. I want to walk through the door. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, it's me. I want to walk through that door. We've had over a dozen hands today raised today of people who said they want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. So I want to do this right here. We're going to all pray with you, okay? Everyone's going to pray today. We're going to pray this prayer from our heart, asking God to forgive us of our sins. Let's do this. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Take away everything I am. I give it to you. All my sin, I give to you today. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love today. I accept your mercy today. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. Today, I walk through the door of salvation. Today, I choose to be a Christian. Today, I choose to confess you, Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give his hand clap. Amen. Stand to your feet today. Now listen, today, before you leave, we're going to close out with a chorus. But today before you leave, if you raise your hands, several of you raised your hands today. We had about 12 people who raised their hands this morning for salvation. What an awesome thing. First of all, let me tell you this. First of all, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Yeah. If you do not have a church home, man, we'd love to have you here. You need to get involved in a church body with friends and people who can love you and be a friend to you and help you. You're going to need other people to come around you to support you. You're going to need people to help train you and to be a friend. And so today we say, come, be involved. Get involved in a local church. Get involved in a local church. But before you leave today, in the very back, we have a brand new salvation packet for you today. We got a free Bible. We got lots of material, free things in there that you need to read to help you understand what God did in your life today, to help you understand the Bible. There's a lot of good things in there, a lot of things that's all free to you today. Stop by there at the very back. We've got a whole bunch of them ready to give to you today. Stop and receive those free gifts today. We say welcome to the family of God. Come on, let's close out this song.
Thank you for the cross, Lord.
What do you think?
Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you
today. Justin's going to come. He's going to close us out in the word of prayer today. God bless you today as we dismiss this time together. Amen.
Let's bow. Lord, we thank you, God, that through the sacrifice of your Son, God. You've opened the door again to us, God. No longer do we have to have a go-between between us, God. Lord, but we can go before you and we can say, Abba, Father. And we can approach your throne with the comfort and with the belief, God, that you're there and you love us and that you're there for us, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that because of the death of Christ and his resurrection, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and to be our guide. And God, for every spiritual blessing that was released into our life when Christ arose on that third day morning, God, we just thank you with everything within us, God. Lord, we say hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name because, God, we know what it means, God. Lord, we thank you for validating yourself, God, in our lives. And Lord, we pray that your resurrection would be new for us every morning. God, those who gave their lives over to you, God, those who rededicated, God, Lord, we pray, God, that you would be real to them in a real and new way, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that every day, God, would be Easter in our lives, that we would never forget the tremendous price that you paid. God, let us go forth from this place in joy and in peace. And God, let us not keep this good news to ourselves, God. But Lord, let us resolve to tell every person that we meet that our Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived as a man, that he suffered and bled and died, but God, that he rose again with all power in his hands. And God, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.